Ever notice how your stomach drops when you walk into a networking event alone? That moment when you scan the room and everyone seems locked in animated conversation while you stand there clutching your drink like a life raft? You're not broken. You're human. That anxiety coursing through your veins is the same ancient alarm system that kept your ancestors alive when encountering strangers could mean genuine danger. Today, the stakes are coffee and small talk, but your brain hasn't gotten the memo. It's still operating like you're walking into a rival tribe's territory. This disconnect between our Stone Age wiring and modern social demands explains why, despite living in the most connected era in human history, we still feel that primal dread when entering unfamiliar territory. By 6 months old, babies already distinguish between familiar and unfamiliar faces, showing wariness towards strangers. Then we spend 12 years in school learning that asking questions is for classrooms only, and that performances expose us to judgment. Add social media's parasocial relationships, where fictional characters can't reject us and are available 24/7, and we've created convenient substitutes that let us avoid the very face-to-face connections we desperately need. Understanding this biological legacy doesn't eliminate the anxiety, but it does something equally valuable. It normalizes it. That racing heart before introducing yourself isn't weakness. It's your prehistoric brain doing exactly what evolution designed it to do. Research across corporate offices, religious congregations, and community organizations reveals 5 fundamental behaviors that determine whether newcomers flourish or flounder. Introducing yourself to strangers, remembering names, asking questions, building relationships, and performing unfamiliar tasks in front of others. The cruel irony? These critical actions are precisely what our brains most fiercely resist. Columbia University researchers tracked executives at a professional mixer and discovered a revealing paradox. Despite claiming they wanted to meet new people, most spent the evening with familiar faces. About 80% of people admit to being bad with names, with forgetting someone's name during an introduction ranking as people's most mortifying social moment. Question asking proves equally fraught. When newcomers reflect on what they do differently, the most common regret is, "I wish I'd asked more questions." Yet many hesitate, fearing they'll appear incompetent. This reluctance intensifies over time. The longer you've been somewhere, the more embarrassing basic questions feel. Building relationships requires vulnerability that triggers rejection fears, while performing new tasks activates status concerns. These aren't just workplace competencies. They're life skills that determine our ability to navigate change and seize opportunities. Most newcomers receive inadequate introductions, either rapid-fire meet-and-greets where names blur together, or impersonal announcements that trigger the snow job, smile, nod, or wave. This creates a standoff where newcomers wait for others to approach them, while established members assume newcomers will introduce themselves when ready. Our reluctance stems from murky social norms around when it's appropriate to introduce yourself. Without clear guidelines, we default to waiting, but the actual risk is far lower than imagined. As one person reflected, "The worst-case scenario was that someone might ignore me. I could gain so much and potentially lose so little." Effective introductions follow a simple structure: greeting, name, brief context, then space for response. The goal isn't to impress, but to make the other person feel good. Questions prove particularly powerful because they demonstrate genuine interest. That initial small talk isn't actually small. It's where you establish connections by exploring commonalities. And conversations, while they still have energy, express appreciation, and ask if you might approach them again. Then immediately write down everything you learned. Your memory is far less reliable than you think. Your name is deeply woven into your identity. Research shows our brains recognize our own names even in severe brain damage cases. Dale Carnegie called a person's name the sweetest and most important sound in any language. Yet most of us forget names seconds after hearing them. This difficulty stems from evolution. Our brains developed separate mechanisms for processing information about people versus their names. Fine for small tribes, but problematic at modern networking events. This explains the baker-baker paradox. If someone works as a baker, we remember easily because it connects to rich mental imagery. But if their surname is Baker, we struggle because it's just an arbitrary label. The most effective workaround is creating vivid, silly imagery. For Philip Harper, picture him playing a harp with his lips. For Sue Bartleman, imagine her suing Bart Simpson. The crazier, the better. Our brains remember unusual, emotional, or bizarre information. During introductions, consciously pay attention, repeat names immediately, and study distinctive facial features. Record names afterward and review regularly. Despite your best efforts, you'll inevitably blank on names. When this happens, simply acknowledge you've temporarily forgotten. Most people understand memory lapses, and your respect matters far more than perfect recall. Question askers perform better at work, appear more creative, and earn higher grades. Yet we avoid asking due to three subconscious evaluations. Is it appropriate to ask this person now? We hesitate with higher status or busy people. What will they think of me? We worry about appearing incompetent. And what will I think of me? We resist acknowledging our beginner status. This reluctance has evolutionary roots. Revealing ignorance could lower status when social standing meant survival. We consistently overestimate how often people refuse requests for help. Students predicted needing to ask 20 strangers to complete 5 surveys when they actually needed only 10. We focus on the imposition rather than recognizing that most people enjoy being helpful. The phrase, "I'm new here," is remarkably powerful. It makes others more willing to help, less likely to judge dumb questions, and more forgiving of mistakes. Developing relationships is crucial for success and happiness, yet many wait for others to make the first move. We've evolved a sensitive sociometer, monitoring for rejection, and those expecting rejection often perceive it when it's not there, creating self-fulfilling prophecies. Modern technology compounds this. We maintain old friendships remotely and build superficial virtual relationships through social media, providing convenient substitutes that prevent meaningful face-to-face connections. When new, we face a paradox. We need relationships to feel comfortable, but need comfort to start relationships. Breaking this cycle requires strategy. Clarify what you want: information, collaboration, emotional support, or companionship. Identify candidates based on roles, proximity, expertise, and approachability. Show sincere interest in others, maintain positivity, and use reciprocity. Help others meet their needs, and they'll naturally help you. New situations trigger anxiety because our brains fear social rejection and status loss. While moderate anxiety sharpens focus, excessive worry degrades performance and may cause avoidance. Performance anxiety has evolutionary roots. We've evolved to fear failure and rejection. Many adopt a talent is fixed mindset, treating initial performances as reveals of innate ability. This creates pressure to be good immediately, turning new situations into high-stakes auditions where mistakes signal permanent inadequacy. Adopting a getting better mindset dramatically reduces anxiety. Believe talent develops through practice, recognize first performances as starting points, and focus on improvement over immediate excellence. This mindset builds persistence and confidence. Harvard psychologist Allison Woodbrooks discovered that repeating "I am excited" before public speaking outperformed saying "I am calm." Excitement creates an opportunity-oriented mindset rather than viewing tasks as threats. Approach new situations like a scientist, focus on learning, and embrace curiosity over competitiveness. Calculate actual risk to your social standing. For mistakes to affect status, others must notice, care, and respond negatively. Usually, people are preoccupied with their own concerns. Reduce anxiety through preparation. Study your role, seek advice, rehearse privately, and mentally walk through scenarios. When performing, focus on tasks rather than negative feelings. While 50% of happiness is genetically determined, we control the other half through our activities and circumstances. Since happiness from specific activities diminishes over time, sustainable fulfillment requires regularly trying new things that align with our values, which means becoming comfortable as a newcomer. Consider a 50-year-old introvert who pursued his dream of creating a one-man theatrical show despite intense fear. Starting with community college acting classes where he felt awkward among younger students, he persisted until he performed his 45-minute show to standing ovations. His social network expanded from a handful of close friends to 75 to 100 people he regularly connects with. Real improvement requires commitment. Imagine your ideal newcomer self, choose skills to develop, try new strategies, seek practice opportunities, and persist. Recognize your inherited predisposition to anxiety in new situations and accept these tendencies while moving forward anyway. The failures and social rejections we fear rarely materialize. Usually, the worst outcome is just brief embarrassment. Be patient with yourself. Changing lifelong habits takes time, and progress will be uneven. The discomfort of being new never completely disappears, but with practice, it transforms from a barrier into a gateway to growth, connection, and becoming who you were meant to be.